I'm sort of following on a little bit from what Michael spoke about last week. So Michael spoke about the justice system of God, and there are a couple of words that he touched on last week that I just wanted to sort of, I guess, go into a little bit further. And the first of those words is sanctification, and the other one is forgiveness. And of course, forgiveness is a very difficult subject, so we'll see how we go and where we go with this. But last year, I was doing a counselling course, and the first unit that we studied was Christian Discipleship Foundations. And actually, I came to the conclusion that really a lot of the counselling skills that I learned really were discipleship, ways of discipling people. And I guess having just finished the first of our pastoral care course, again, I'm reminded of the importance of discipleship. And so I guess forgiveness is one of those things that we that is part of discipleship, and also sanctification. So I had to explain the word sanctification in one of the first units that I did, and I thought, this course is going to be a pushover. This is going to be so easy. I'm going to fly through this. Well, I sat down to actually explain it in the amount of words that we were given succinctly and simply, and I was struggling. And I thought, oh dear, how long have I been a Christian? A long time. I need to get this sorted. So sanctification is primarily, so if we can go to slide two, is primarily a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So our initial sanctification happens when we're born again by God's Spirit. We're made righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. So righteousness is put on us, or as the scripture puts it, we're imputed to us by faith. We were then justified and we received peace with God. God sees us through what Jesus did on the cross. So we're progressively sanctified as we cooperate with the Spirit of God to work in our lives. God has promised us that he is faithful, and while we're alive, he'll still keep working with us. And he wants us to cooperate in that work that he wants to do in our lives. We have ultimate sanctification. When we go to be with the Lord, he returns, we'll have final completion of the work that Christ will do in our lives. So God has worked in our lives, he's working in our lives, and he'll complete that work when we go to be with him. So Philippians 1 verse 6, next slide please, really reiterates that. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is faithful. And the little picture there of that little plant, and I guess we sang that song today, Flourish, you know. God wants us to be like a little plant planted that is watered and begins to grow and flourishes to the point where we grow fruit. And so part of that work of sanctification is what helps us to grow and to flourish, and also forgiveness is also a way that we will grow and flourish as well. So the next slide. So another topic we're going to cover today is forgiveness. So the word forgive in the Greek simply means to release, to set a person free as an act of justice. This is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He set us free from the penalty of sin. And as Michael suggested last week, when we've been wounded, it affects our whole body. So the picture's not there. Ah, there it is. So there it is. So yes, it affects body, soul and spirit. And Michael had those little arrows going right, piercing right through. And that's what can happen. So we're going to have a look at a parable that's very well known. We term it the unforgiving servant. But it's also a picture of our merciful God. So if we can turn to Matthew 18, 21 to 35, and I've actually got it up on the screen. So if it's readable, could someone read each of the slides? So if who would like to take the first turn of reading the first slide for me there? Yep, thank you. Okay, can I have another volunteer for the next section, please? Yes, please. Thank you. Next one. Next volunteer. Another volunteer.
They were very and his master said, "Good sir, if you all."
One more. That little parable was contained in a little children's book. I don't know whether anybody who's had children, called Arch Books. Anybody heard of the Arch Books? They're very old. And this little Arch Book, they're rhyming books. And so it was sort of, I think in the end we almost made it a bit of a rap, you know, because there was a lot of, the rhyme made it a really good rhythm. And I used to really love getting into the expression, you know, pay what you owe, you know, and I really enjoyed reading it to the children. But of course, the implications of that story in real life are very confronting and very powerful. Sometimes we may have misunderstood what forgiveness is. This morning I want to explore the area of what forgiveness is and what it's not. So why do I want to speak on forgiveness? Well, I believe it can be pivotal for spiritual growth and inner healing, which of course promotes spiritual growth. It also helps us with our spiritual identity and our self-awareness. So there's a couple of different sorts of forgiveness. Of course, there's receiving forgiveness from God, receiving forgiveness in the Christian community, seeking forgiveness from others, and extending forgiveness to others. Sometimes we may have a problem with unforgiveness from God because it's free. Problem with forgiveness from God because it's free. It doesn't cost anything. And sometimes we think, you know, where's the strings? What, you know, what's the go with this free gift that God has given us? But receiving God's forgiveness closely ties with repentance and confessing of our wrongdoing on our behalf. God wants to help us with this. He loves us, he's for us, and we know that God is good. Forgiveness is not a head decision. I am going to forgive them. It's not that. It's a heart decision that the Holy Spirit can help us with. So the next slide, please. So in the new Kainos covenant, God has given us two great gifts that are mentioned in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, and that's the forgiveness of sins and the Holy Spirit. So I'll just read that. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbour and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. We talked a little bit about this in pastoral care the other day, about the will of God. And, you know, what is the will of God? And sometimes we try and track out what the will of God is. And there's lots of things from the scripture that we can see is the will of God. And God wants us to walk in the joy and liberation of forgiveness. And I believe that is the will of God. Larry Crabb puts it this way, in a celebration of forgiveness. Larry Crabb's a Christian counsellor writer. Until we come to a point of deep inner forgiveness, we tend to be plagued and weighed down by guilt and shame. There's many Bible verses that talk about the blessing of forgiving in the Christian community. And I'll just read a couple. So the next slide, James 5 verse 16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And Ephesians 4 verse 32. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. So if we to have a bit of self-awareness here, we'd be, and we were being realistic about our life and about life in general and about ourselves, I guess we've all had a part to play in hurting others and being hurt. We've wounded people and people have wounded us. It's been said that hurt people hurt people. And of course, face-to-face communication, of course, is always the best means of being able to offer that forgiveness. Sometimes that's the best way, and sometimes it's not always possible. It's not always an easy thing to say that I'm sorry. Hurt which has occurred as a result of human interaction can result in very strong emotional responses. Sometimes the natural order of emotions becomes a behaviour, and behaviours can grow from that emotion. So we may go from hurt to anger, to resentment, to bitterness and hatred, and then it goes further. But Hebrews 12:15 says that a root of bitterness causes trouble and defiles many. These thoughts or emotion that can become emotions can give place or ground to the devil and allow him to build a stronghold or a mindset on the ground in the behaviour, on that ground in the behaviour, which can start an inner vow inside ourselves. So unforgiveness comes at a high cost. It can bind the wounded person who has hurt them. The unforgiving servant was also put in prison and delivered to the torturers. It's been said that the person who struggles to forgive is locked into the person's emotionally and can become controlled by the person he or she has not forgiven. An explanation of the consequences of unforgiveness. I've heard it being said it's a bit like throwing a boomerang to the person that you're not forgiving, and the boomerang, of course, comes back to actually hurt the person that has been wounded. So it really doesn't work. We understand that resentment can be a natural reaction to hurt. There are many consequences to holding on to bitterness and resentment. Some of these include physical sicknesses, psychological distress, and spiritual blockages. And I remember when doing my course, there were a lot of things that people struggled with because of holding unforgiveness. God has asked us to forgive as he has forgiven us. But I want to encourage you in this. The idea is not to bring condemnation at all. Forgiveness is a heart process, like the work of sanctification. And God's really committed to us. He's really committed to us. He really wants to help us to thrive, to help us to flourish. Matthew 18, verse 35 says, forgiveness is more than saying, I forgive you, in our heads. For example, someone saying, oh yeah, I forgave that rat a long time ago for what he did, doesn't really sound like forgiveness. Yes. So I think maybe if that was being said, there's a little bit more work God has to do in our lives. That there still may be an element of resentment there. So between the thought processes of our thinking and our emotions, they can take time. But God wants us to help us forgive in our hearts. And we forgive in order to heal. And of course, we talked a bit about healing last week, and that's definitely one of a will of God for us to have healing in our lives. So the next slide, slide 14. So part of being a pastoral care kind of person, being a person who enjoys to listen and to share in life with people, it's important that we look at this for our own sake and for those maybe around us that we may be helping. Sometimes we've thought wrong things about forgiveness. So it's really not about forgetting the hurt that it didn't happen. Only God is able to do that. He's the only one that can forget the wrongdoings that we've done. It's important that we don't forget, actually, for our future protection. So forgiveness is not saying it doesn't matter. It's actually not okay for people to hurt us. Nor is it sweeping it under the carpet or not bringing the offence to light. Repressing hurts can cause bitterness, mistrust, and future brokenness. Forgiveness doesn't condone what's been done. So having to reconcile with the other person is not what forgiveness is about either. Sometimes there's a need to form boundaries to be set for the future safety of people. Reconciliation may never happen, but forgiveness without reconciliation can happen. I think they're really important things for us to remember, because I think sometimes we think that we need to be able to come back to a fantastic relationship together when a wound has been caused, but that may not always happen. So how can we move towards forgiveness when we know that this is something God wants us to do, particularly when this is what he's done for us? So to ask God to reveal areas of hurt in our lives and places where we need to ask for forgiveness. As God does this, tell him about our hurts that we've been holding on to. God is all too willing to hear us and listen to us. As God reveals these things, pray out loud and ask God to help forgive. Hand those hurts over to him. Give them to God and receive his comfort. And we speak so much about the Holy Spirit being a comforter. Well, he really wants us to call on that comfort of the Holy Spirit. We move towards forgiveness by asking for God's grace to work through these hurts so that forgiveness can become a living experience in our heart. We move towards forgiveness by keep speaking out forgiveness, like, I forgive such and such a person, anytime perhaps those feelings of hurt arise again. The other thing is to expect nothing in return. Sometimes we think, well, if I say sorry, they should say sorry back to me. But that's not what it's all about. Sometimes we may never speak to that person that we need to forgive. So expecting nothing in return is important. Sometimes that person that we need to forgive may not even be alive. We move towards forgiveness by not insisting on the person changing. And that's, you know, we're pretty good at wanting people to sort of conform to what we want. But people are in God's hands, and God is the one who changes lives, not us. We move towards forgiveness by praying that God will bless the other person. As much as that is very hard to do, God can help us do this. And so we also need to release the other person from saying, "I'm sorry." Because as I said before, that other person may not even be alive. But it's an important exercise for our own heart to come to that. So yes, we've talked about forgiveness. Talk over. But the real challenge is the practice of forgiveness. That's, of course, much harder. But we know that God is with us and for us, and that he wants to help us do this. Remember, we've said that it's his will that we do forgive. Another book that I read to the children when they were younger was The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. And also another one of her books where she spoke a lot about forgiveness. And we're going to watch a film clip, very brief clip in a moment, to do with Corrie's time. Well, it's not really about her time in the prison camp, but she spent many years in a prison camp, and her sister died in the prison camp. And it talks, she used to go around the countryside talking about forgiveness. And then she was really faced with the practice of. So we'll just watch that and I'll return.
It was some time ago that I was in Berlin. And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Bohm, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? Suddenly I saw that man. That was one of the most cruel aufseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I have found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I have asked God's grace for an opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein Ten Boom, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remembered the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I saw, when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew, I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5. And thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand. And I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either, but he can.
So yes, we're going to sing another song, and as we close, I just want to give people the opportunity today that if there's something in their lives or that they're feeling that this is spoken to them regarding forgiveness, if they need to forgive someone or they need to be sorry for something that they've done, I just want to give people an opportunity to perhaps come forward as we sing a song now, and Yes, if the musos want to come forward. Of course, as I was preparing this, it's not an easy subject, but it's healthy for the care of our spirit, soul and our body, and God is waiting for us to speak with him. He loves us and he paid a huge price so that we could be forgiven. So we want to allow God to unblock us, to help us unblock any areas in our lives, like unforgiveness, to set us free, to heal and to grow in him. So, the music is... Thank you.